Before I read the scripture this morning, I just want to make a little introduction. We have Audrey Carnegie with us. She reminded me that several years ago, maybe mid-2000s, she and her husband were retreat speakers for us up at the Penn Valley Christian Retreat Center. So it's good to see you again. I told her face had looked familiar for sure. She is now at Landis Homes as a chaplain there part-time, helps to coordinate the different services that they have and programs and so forth. So it's good to have you here, Audrey. For the scripture reference this morning, it is found in Philippians 4, 2 to 9. Just follow along as I read, please. And I will do the best I can with these first couple words. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Blessings, Audrey, as you bring the message.
Wonderful practice of having fruit while you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I heard a speaker several years ago talk about fruitfulness. And he said, you know, a fruit tree doesn't strain really hard and then bear fruit. It happens. It's its natural condition. It's what it's made to do. And I hope that as you munch on the fruit, you can remember, and as I talk about gentleness, which can sometimes be a challenge, remember that we are made to produce these fruit, and that it isn't by straining that it happens, but by the grace of God. So I'm going to share some stories, and I'm going to remind myself and all of you that these stories are by the grace of God. So be gentle. I'm guessing that all of us have either heard that phrase or used that phrase at some point in our lives. What comes to your mind when you think of being gentle? We just sang Gentle Shepherd. And I'm reminded in the other songs that we sang that gentleness is part of God's character. It's part of the way that God deals with us, being gentle. You might also think of a young child holding a new baby brother or sister. I think there's a little one here, and depending who you have hold that little one, you might say, be gentle. But what do we mean exactly by being gentle? I had the privilege of preaching at Landis Homes recently. One of our speakers got sick. And I said, well, I'm already preaching at Whitmer Heights, a two-for-one deal there. After the message, a gentleman came out and he said, I always thought of being gentle as doing nothing. I hope you discover this morning that is indeed not the case. But what do we mean then by being gentle? As I studied the text for this morning with the focus on this word gentleness, I found that the meaning and the implications are much more complex, especially than simply doing nothing. Perhaps one way to say what gentleness means is that gentleness is an appropriate and compassionate response designed to bring the best out in a person or situation. In college in Mississippi, my biology class went to the professor's home, and he was licensed to catch and tag songbirds. So I was able to hold a purple finch gently. That is, with the appropriate technique that was firm enough so it didn't fly away, but also was gentle enough not to harm its delicate legs. I had to use my strength in correct proportion to its strength. Now, a different set of skills is used when interacting with a larger animal, like a horse. I worked with the horses at Camp Hebron in my youth, and there we did not use a little soft and gentle touch. It was much more appropriate to give it a good smack on the rump or the neck. A soft, gentle touch could be like a fly, and you might get swatted by a tail or a hoof. So what is appropriate? Paul calls on the Philippians to let your gentleness be evident to all the Lord is near. What did that mean for them? And what could it mean for us? So let's take a dive into the text for today. This is a final portion of Paul's letter to the Philippians, and it contains a list of exhortations, a list of moral advice with this theme of God's peace, rooted in God's character, which is to guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, both as individuals and as the worshiping community. I'm going to take a look at the whole text, but then come back and focus on verse 5. Philippians is written to a church of Philippi. Philippi was a community known for its patriotic nationalism. It had a lot of retired military personnel living in that area. And so Paul comes in, and Paul's preaching a gospel of Jesus as the King of Kings. And so think of that message coming into a context where the emperor was both king, but also worshiped as a god. And here's Paul presenting a king who is also God. It didn't go over well. There was a lot of pressure and persecution on the church of Philippi, and yet they remained faithful to Jesus. Along with this external pressure that they are experiencing, there was some internal conflict. Paul begins these exhortations by addressing specific people who are involved in an unnamed conflict, which was public enough for Paul to address it here in a public way. Whatever the conflict is, it was having an impact on the community, and Paul calls on his co-worker Clement to help these women. But he does it gently. He takes the problem seriously, but he doesn't blow it out of proportion. It is interesting, in as I trace this word gentleness in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, it is often used in the context of having to confront somebody. Be gentle. Use gentleness, just as Jesus is gentle. So with this internal conflict, the external pressure, we know that when that's happening, emotions can run a bit high. Maybe we can understand what that feels like. When there are tensions in the church, when there's hate and violence in our nation and in our world, it becomes much easier to simply react out of those heightened emotions than to pause and to choose a more Christ-like, careful, gentle response. So how do we do this? Well, Paul begins his exhortations by saying, rejoice. Rejoice. Begin with a posture of praise that orients yourself daily within the big picture of God's sovereignty and goodness. And he says it twice, which usually means pay attention. Rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. From this vertical action of praise flows a horizontal response toward others. Rejoice, therefore, be gentle. Not just to a select group of people, but to all. More on that verse in a minute. Next, I think Paul is acknowledging that anxiety and fear exist. It's part of the human condition. But good news. Jesus sees and cares about our anxieties and desires to bring security to our hearts and minds. Again, this invitation to thanksgiving, like the invitation to rejoice, helps to place our fears and our anxieties within God's faithfulness and goodness. And then lean into what's good. Let those things be the things that fill our minds. Assess what is true. Discern what is honorable. Pursue what is just and pure. Appreciate what is lovely and admirable. Paul urges us to keep on living out the way Jesus modeled and the way Paul is modeling for them, to live and to love like Jesus. Then you will be able to sense what the God of peace is up to, the God of peace who is always longing to bring true peace and wholeness to us, to our communities. So in this kind of list of exhortations, how does gentleness fit into the picture? Gentleness is not an unfamiliar word. We use it. But in this context, it has a surprising number of synonyms. It gives us a better picture of how God's Spirit is at work as we live this out in community. And so as I studied this text and I studied the word gentleness within this text, I looked up how many different ways of saying gentle there are. And there are quite a lot. Things like a gentle spirit, an appropriate approach, humility, forbearance, kindness, a clemency that extends mercy and compassion, a suitableness that doesn't overreact. Few things have challenged my patience and gentleness like parenting. Like Shelby shared in the introduction, when kids are at it, oh my goodness, it's hard to be gentle. It's so easy to do and say things that are quite the opposite. Now, my parenting of young children days are a few years ago. We'll just say that. But I still remember some of those times. Gladly, the years make it a little bit more obscure. I don't remember details. That's probably a good thing. But I do remember one time they were just fussing at each other. Fighting, arguing, I don't know what it was about. Yeah, even at the time, I didn't know what it was about exactly. I just knew I had to do something. And I could feel my emotions were up. My frustration was up. And I knew that if I responded in that moment, it was not going to be good for them or for me. So I said, all right, you sit there. You sit there. And I'm going to go in the other room and pray about it. I asked my 21-year-old last night, do you remember that? And he's like, no. I don't know if it had an impression on them, but it did on me. It did on me. I remember that. I remember going into the other room and praying. I knew that I needed to take a step back, needed to breathe deep. And most of all, I needed to ask God for wisdom. At that moment, I didn't know what to do. James 3:17 says that wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. I don't know exactly what I said next. It probably wasn't amazingly brilliant or anything like that, but I do know that it was calm, that it was gentle, and that was by the grace of God. Paul's exhortation to gentleness expands our actions, not just towards the people that we get along with, but Paul says toward all. Now remember the context that he's writing into. These are folks who are in a hostile environment where their message of good news is not always well received. And Paul is saying, be gentle to all. Provide clemency, forbearance, compassion, humility, patience to all. And what about us? Think of the events in our nation over the past month, in our world, the ongoing conflicts, the political tensions that make gentleness toward all quite a challenge. In the Believer's Bible Commentary, Gordon Zeeby writes that this call to gentleness fits in well with Paul's continuing message of non-retaliation. Paul sees the dangers of the culture and the political system around these folks in Philippi. Perhaps sees how easy it would for them to become a community defined by exceptionalism or isolationist mentality, kind of an us versus them way of seeing the world. And so Paul instructs them to let their gentleness be evident to all as a witness of God's transforming power in our community. Even when a situation would justify a swift and pointed response, we are invited to take a step back, breathe deep, and respond with a suitable mildness and forbearance. Proverbs 15:1, one of my mom's favorite, especially when we were little, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Sometime I need to ask her if that was more for us or for her. It works both ways. Along with a good dose of patience and forbearance, gentleness requires understanding what is appropriate in a situation to truly help someone. Church World Services provides Christian communities with many ways to let our gentleness be evident to all kinds of people from all over the world. Recently, Forest Hills Mennonite Church, where my husband and I attend, sponsored a young Muslim mother with her two young children and one on the way. The baby was born just a few weeks after she settled in Lancaster. We had a decent idea of what a mother with two young children and one on the way would need. Diapers, food, place to live. But what about a practicing Muslim woman recently arrived ahead of her husband into a new culture? For that, we needed to patiently listen, observe, and learn so that our help would truly be helpful. And that is a function of gentleness. In our Sunday school class this morning, Nikki shared a little bit about homelessness, helping us to understand how easy it is to fall into homelessness, and yet how hard it is to get out of homelessness. That is a function of gentleness, taking the time to learn before we do. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Gentleness in conflict or confrontation, in difficult or unknown situations, is challenging. It's not easy. And so we need some motivation. We need some measure of assurance that this is indeed possible. Just 2 weeks after giving birth to my youngest son, who is now 19, I found myself laying in a darkened emergency room with a pulmonary embolism. It's a blood clot in my lung. And I never had really heard about these obstructions before, so at the moment, I did not know whether I would live or die. I didn't understand that it already traveled through my heart and got stuck in my lung and it was at the end of its journey. I thought this thing could shift and move and that could be the end. I didn't have anybody else in the room with me for several hours, and I didn't have any books or anything to write with. I didn't have a Bible. And so I had memorized a lot of scripture growing up. At the school that I was at, it was a requirement. And so I had a ton of memorized scripture, and I just lay there and I tried to remember as much as I could. And out of all of the verses that I could possibly come to my mind, it was this one that stuck, that took root in my mind. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And it changed the way I experienced and how I now remember those hours of not knowing whether I would live or die. I was able to, by the grace of God, let go of my fear of dying. I was ready. I did remind the Lord that I had 3 young children and a husband at home, so that if it was okay with God, I'd like to stay around for a little while longer. But I honestly felt ready. And as that peace surrounded me in that moment, that focus on my fear shifted to a focus on this verse, a focus on gentleness, to let my gentleness be evident to everybody who came into my emergency hospital room. Now, I don't know if any of the doctors or nurses or cleaning personnel or anybody who came into my room noticed anything, but it changed my experience of what could have been a totally overwhelming situation. The Lord was truly near in those hours. And so I tell you, the Lord is truly near now. My office at Landis Homes is close to where they do a lot of the rehab in residential living. And so as I go up and down the halls, I sometimes see the therapists working with residents who are themselves working really hard at walking and at balance and different things. And the therapists are usually right behind or beside that person. They're providing a bit of support and of guidance. And they're also urging them on a little bit farther. Come on, 1 more, 2 more, you can do it. In the exercise of our gentleness, the Lord is near, supporting, guiding, and urging us on. This reminder that the Lord is near is also an expression of Paul's hope for the concrete and imminent realization of God's goal of redeeming the world, redeeming it to be a place of justice, peace, and integrity in creation. The suffering that the Philippians were undergoing was not unnoticed by God, who would bring vindication and reconciliation in God's own time. James 5:8 says, "You must also be patient, strengthening your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." And so we too are waiting. We are waiting in a bit of the messiness of life, where conflict is real, where culture and politics can divide, where sometimes harsh words and violence seems to get the spotlight, where there's just simply grief and illness and stress. But even as we wait, we are called to that fruit of the Spirit, to gentleness, to live according to the way of Jesus as citizens of God's kingdom, where there is no law against love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Gentleness is the fruit of God's Spirit at work in us. It is an outflow of rejoicing, of prayer, of thanksgiving, of a mindset that dwells on what is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely. But most of all, gentleness is the outflow of Christ within us, the hope of glory. Let's pray. O Lord, since you have chosen us to be your holy people, whom you love, help us to clothe ourselves each day with tender-hearted mercy and kindness, with humility and gentleness and patience, And when tensions run high or anxiety grips us, help us to pause, to praise, to pray, so that we may respond with humility and gentleness of Christ at all times to all people. And now may your peace, which is beyond all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.